It's really good to be with you, and it's really good to have my wife here. And she and I have been partners in this journey for almost 30 years now. Our kids are hopefully graduating college this year, and they both have great experiences in two different places. I was thinking of Anna, though. This is the first time I've actually sung. I've seen the Seedbed hymnal, but I haven't sung out of it, I don't think. But Anna, she's leaving straight from here to go to the Asbury Seminary board meeting, and she's on one of her task forces is the Seedbed team. So she's not responsible for this, but don't tell anyone else that. So, well, hey, it is great to be here with you on a even on a rainy, cloudy, wake me up in the morning at 1, 2, 3, and who knows how many other times with the lightning last night. I thought this was going to be just like Florida, but in Florida, we have very specific times when the rainstorms come, and it's usually not at 3 a.m. So it's fun to be here with you. I may have told some of you this story. My first time in Houston was back in 1986. I'm not telling y'all anything you don't know about the heat, but there was a swim meet. I was a swimmer in high school and college, and I went to my first really big swim meet. It was at the Woodlands. I was so excited. ESPN was going to be there. Because this is 1986, there was no other sports to be having, so they had swimming actually on ESPN. But it was so hot that they canceled the daytime portion of the meet. And that was the only thing ESPN was covering, because they actually had real sports at 7 p.m. So I missed my opportunity to be on ESPN because it was 120 degrees at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which we do get in Florida too. Hey, I know Mother's Day is next week, but I've been thinking about my mom because she just passed away in January. And she had had Alzheimer's or some form of dementia for many, many, many years, to the degree that my wife Anna was gracious enough to say, let's move back from California, go back to Florida, live with your mom, help make sure she's being cared for. We were not her primary caregivers, but we were there filling in around the edges. And if we were talking earlier, some of us have had that experience, and that's just, it's a great part of being a child and helping out, and it's exhausting, and you have to make big sacrifices for it. Anna was a big part of saying yes, so I do say yes again. Thank you for doing that. But I've been thinking about my mom getting ready for my first Mother's Day without her here. And one of the things I distinctly remember about my mom is, I'm sure none of you moms ever did this, she really loved telling me when she had already told me something about 300 times. Jack, your dirty clothes are still sitting right where they were. I am not going to wash them for you. Jack, you left all the lights on upstairs. Can you go turn those off? Jack, please lift up the dishwasher. I'm going to trip and kill myself. That's Anna, actually, just about every other week. We know how that is, right? She and we, because we do it with our kids too, we tell them things over and over and over again with the hope that sometimes, somehow, they really, really sink in. And sometimes the things are trivial. Although the clothes do need to be washed, that's a trivial thing. Sometimes they're more important. This scripture passage that was just read by Dave on was about Peter, and it's one of the great stories. I don't know how many of y'all watch the Chosen. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? The Chosen. Some of you do. Just really interesting telling of the life of Jesus that started out on its own. I think it's actually filmed here in Texas. It's probably about a 40-hour series now. And it keeps on going. I'm not even sure where we're not up absolutely live, but we've been watching it through. And Anna really likes the Matthew character, because he actually comes across as the character he's playing as someone on the autism scale, and it's just a very fascinating character. But he also has the name Matthew, and Anna really has always loved Matthew McConaughey. So I'm sure that has something to do with it. But my favorite character in The Chosen thus far is Peter. Because it's interesting to see, I always think of Peter post him being the one, you are the rock. I'm going to build my church, actually on all the future Christians, but I'm going to start with you, even more than the rest of the disciples. I'm going to build my people on you. But the interesting thing for me as I read and watch even the series is that Peter needs to be told about who Jesus is time and time again. I knew I'd have to come back to my notes at some point. There's five key places in the New Testament where Peter has significant encounters with Jesus that end up transforming where he goes. Some of them are really good points. Some of them are really bad points. The first one is in Matthew 4, where he sees Jesus for the very first time. Maybe Peter, Simon at the time, maybe Simon had heard about Jesus, but they seemingly have never met. And Jesus sees Peter and he says, Peter, come with me. I want you to be my disciple. And he goes. And Peter knows little to nothing about who Jesus is. Now, it wasn't uncommon just to kind of follow along with a rabbi teacher, but Peter drops everything and does it, and he becomes one of the friends. And then there's another key story where Peter's out on the water with all the other disciples, apparently, and the storms come up. I imagine it would have been like last night, or maybe later today, or maybe last week up in the north, where the waters just came, and out of the blue, all the disciples are in trouble, and they see Jesus on the boat or walking to the boat, and Peter tries to get out. And he goes a little bit, and then he sinks. So he first starts following, and then he sinks. And then in Matthew 16, we get this great declaration, you are the Christ. Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I teach evangelism. I teach Methodist history, Methodist theology, and you're right, Manchester is in England. Manchester, the University of Manchester is where, there's also a Manchester, multiple Manchesters here, but for Methodists, the big Manchester is in England because that's where 99% of the Methodist archives are. They're not in Cambridge, they're not in Oxford, they're in Manchester at this great, big, beautiful library. And I don't know why I even just said that. Why did I go there? But then it goes back to bad again, right? He keeps encountering Jesus, and that's what I was saying about evangelism. Even after Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, you would think that would be enough. And then Jesus turns to him just a number of months later and says, oh, by the way, you are going to deny me, not once, but twice, but three times, and not over the course of your life, but actually by tomorrow morning. You said I'm the Christ. You're going to deny me. I've been there. I said yes to Jesus my third year of college, and my life from that journey has kind of been it's been up and to the right with Jesus. Don't get me wrong, but it's been up and down and up and down. And sometimes I feel really close to Jesus, and sometimes I feel far, and sometimes I need to hear the story of him again and again and again. And it was the same with Peter. That wasn't the end of Peter's story, right? In Acts, we read he makes one of the greatest sermons to the ancient world and says, this one who I denied, who I previously called the Christ, he actually is the Christ. Will you come? Will you be his follower as well? One of the things I've learned after teaching evangelism for 5 years, and I don't like even using that word because some people just tune out when you say evangelism. I I don't meet a whole bunch of people who want to be street corner evangelists, but almost every church I go to is full of people who want to be able to talk about Jesus with their friends, their families, their coworkers, in ways that build relationships together instead of tearing them apart. Everyone wants to be able to talk about their faith, but do it in ways that brings us closer together, not further. But we're really worried about the further. Maybe y'all are different. That's who I come in contact with. The New Testament is full of the idea, because the Old Testament is full of the idea, that the story of God gets repeated over and over and over again in our lives. One of the great things for this church is you get started. And I know it may feel like you've been doing this for now a few years. You are in step one, and maybe like even before the first step of step one, of where you're going to be in 10 and 20 and, God willing, 100 years from now. The foundations you lay will keep being built upon, and it's not because you tell the story once 6 months ago and everything falls into the place. It's because you'll tell the story every time you meet. And over the years, and in your Sunday school, and in your small groups, and within your youth ministry, and within your Sunday school classes, even you who say yes to Jesus, and if there are some of you out here who are saying, I'm not sure I buy this story yet, but I want to hear more, you're going to hear the story again and again and again. God knows exactly what my mom knew, that the story gets repeated so that ultimately it sinks in. It takes root. It takes hold. Peter saw in Jesus something I want to explore. I'm willing to follow you, but I don't believe you yet. That comes later in Matthew. I said yes. I remember I grew up in church. We went every Sunday. I remember when I was a kid, we were in a space like this. We sat, my dad, he always insisted on sitting in, you know, maybe not row one, but row two in his mind was the far back. So if we went anywhere besides row one and two, we knew something was off. But he took us every Sunday. And I say he because my mom was always singing in the choir. So we always walked in with my dad, to the point that some woman said to him, evidently he loved telling the story, after we had been in a church for about 5 years, a woman came up to him and said, "You are so faithful bringing your children to church with you every Sunday. I am so sorry. What happened to your wife?" And he was like, "Well, she's right there." She was convinced something had happened, divorce, death, but she was right there the whole time. We needed to hear the story of the gospel over and over and over again. I went to church, but I'd never believed. I heard the story dozens, if not hundreds of times. Jesus? It seems too fantastical to me. But it was only in college when my undergrad degree is international relations and Chinese studies, and we actually started looking at the Chinese religions, and for the first time, I had to start saying to myself, at least in my opinion, these religions are actually very different from what I heard about, even though I don't believe it yet, what I heard about in Jesus. I want to learn more. At best, I thought if there was a God, it was kind of one God out there over all the religions, but I was learning, some people believe very different things about who God is. God isn't necessarily always good in other religious traditions, for example. So for me, it was that third year of college when a friend of mine invited me for the third time to come to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I went because I liked him, but I didn't really want to go to a church, but I went there with him. And I heard the story again and again, and then ultimately said yes. As y'all are starting this church, this community, there's going to be other people like you who have had significant experiences, and they're coming from other religious traditions, and they're wanting to connect with you because they already believe. They're the late Matthew version of Peter. He's already claimed him. But there's going to be a lot of people. I've been to Houston a whole bunch of times, and I know Houston's not that different from any other place in the sense that there's a lot of Christians and there's a lot of churches and there's a lot of people out there who have never come to any of them, and they have no idea what the story is about. And they think Jesus may be a good person, but that's it. And the people who follow him, well, you're part crazy. And the only reason they're going to learn that that's not true, although there are some crazy Christians, the only reason they're going to learn that's not true is because they have lunch with you and they work down the hall from you and they live on your street. And when you've talked to them in the only ways you can do, over time, in a repetitive manner, and ask them to say, tell me what you believe. I'd love to hear what you believe about God. Only after those conversations take place time and time again, some of them will become part of this church. I've yet to meet any person anywhere who the very first time they heard about Jesus said yes. I'm sure this happened somewhere, but I've never seen that person. Always when I talk with people one-on-one and we talk about their story, they actually heard about the story previously from someone else, and then at some point down the line, after hearing it 5, 10, 20, 100 times, they finally said yes to Jesus. One of the things I love about John Wesley and our founder, he was one of the founders of our Methodist movement, is he kept really detailed notes. I'm not a detailed note taker like he was. He tracked everything, including who was in church every week in every Methodist group around England. And he also tracked how long it took someone to say yes to Jesus after they came into the movement. And there's one woman from central England who came to the Methodist ministries, their small groups, their church, their worship services, came for 40 years before she said yes. And John Wesley was really happy. He's like, finally, I don't have to keep putting notes about her after 40 years. There's people in your life. And in fact, maybe there's somebody here who you've been thinking about Jesus for a long time and you've heard the story again and again, but you haven't said yes in that critical, fundamental way that marks a change in your life when you say, yes, I repent and I believe. And you're still exploring. Some of you said that a long time ago, but you know what? You still need to repent sometimes. You still need to say yes to Jesus again sometimes, not to save you, but to lead you, because there's somewhere new God is calling you, and faithfulness to him is what is required. When you go out, you've already done this so many times, if you keep doing it, the Spirit will bless you and lead you just as the Spirit did with Peter. Keep telling the story. Peter heard it time and time and time again. You don't have to do it profoundly. You may mess it up, but the Holy Spirit will be with you, guiding you and leading you. I have some of my best conversations with Uber drivers now. And yesterday was no exception. We had I don't know if it was related to the rainstorm, but we showed up. I had a rental car reservation at Thrifty. That should have been the first sign that there was a problem. We haven't rented from them in a long time. But we showed up, and there was a forever line. I started getting texts even before the plane landed saying, you've checked in, but your car's not ready. We'll refresh in 15 minutes. 15 minutes later, your car's not ready. 15 minutes later, your car's not ready. So ultimately, we just got an Uber. And we were driving back, and Anna was on the phone with one of her Asbury colleagues because she's going from here to the board meeting. And she talked about how I was preaching here today, and she hung up. And the driver, who was obviously of Middle Eastern descent in some way, he very quietly said, are one of you a preacher? And she said, well, actually, we both are. And then he said, well, I'm a Catholic, and I was born again. And I said, wow, would you mind sharing that story? And for the next 20 minutes, he told his story. And the only part I'll share with you here is that even though he had become a Christian, he said yes because not because of what anyone specifically said, but because of what people were telling him ongoing about a good God, and he felt something saying, something pushing him. That was the language he used, something pushing him. He would go to worship every Sunday. He had friends that were Christians. They talked about Jesus, but there was something pushing him to a deeper level of faith. We Methodists know that push, that gentle push, is the Holy Spirit. As you go, as this church, into your future, the Holy Spirit is going to be pushing you to take the next deeper step in partnership with him, this good God who loves you, loves me, and loves Houston, and is calling this church to be a unique ministry in the place of Houston and in the kingdom of God. God bless you. Never stop telling that story. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we come to you and we pray this day. We pray for friends and family and coworkers and ourselves. For we need to hear the story again, and we need to keep hearing it. And some of us, maybe even in this room, need to say yes for the first time. And maybe some of us said yes a long time ago, but we need to say yes again. Bless us, we pray. We pray for those in our community who are affected by these storms, and we know in some places it's bad, and so we pray for them, and we pray for the Christians in that area and even in all of Houston. How can we support each other and love each other and care for each other during this time and every time? Bless this church as it seeks to be your part of the Wesleyan commitment and ministry and witness in this region of Houston. Give them eyes to see where you are leading them. Give them strength and endurance and hope above all, for you are the good God who cares for us and is with us at every moment. We bring to you in the silence of this moment all the joys for which we give thanks. And there are many, and we so often take them for granted. We pray also for those areas of challenge in our lives where we're not sure where the path is, where it seems foggy in front of us, and we trust that you're with us, but we don't see the way. And those of us who are parents, help us to be encouraging and challenging when appropriate with our kids. Help us to be the people you want us to be. For it is in the name of Jesus that we gather and that we pray. Amen.